Mark chapter 3, verse number 27, the verse we read this morning is this, and I'll just a quick introduction as we jump in tonight. Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Jesus is using this as a parable. He's teaching that he didn't come in the power of the devil to cast out the devil. He said, that doesn't make sense. How can Satan cast out Satan? He goes through that. He tells this one verse parable that says, look, if somebody's going to go into a strong man's house and try to steal the strong man's stuff, he's going to fail unless he ties up the strong man. Unless you bind the strong man, you can't take his stuff. The challenge this morning was we need people in our home to be that strong man. We need dads. We need husbands to be the strong man. That's the way God set it up. In a fractured society and in the culture that we live in, if there's not a dad present in the home, there's not a husband present in the home, we still need somebody in that home to step up and say, I will be the strong man for this home. I will guard against the attacks of the devil. I will be alert. I will be ready. And I will take the training. And I will learn what I need to learn to be able to stand against that evil man, that the devil or the world, whatever it is, that's trying to come in and attack in my home. That's the strong man. There's another person that's very important in the defense of a city. Turn to Ezekiel chapter. I think it's Ezekiel chapter 3 that I want you to read first of all. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 17. If you would turn there, our memory verse today was in Daniel. Ezekiel's the book right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to read about the other important person, very important person, in defending a city and also in defending a home. And that is a watchman. I know we usually don't say watchman, we'd say watchman. But I'm going to say it that way sometimes just so you can understand. The strong man is so important, but the watchman also incredibly important. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 17. Here's what the Bible says. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me. God is speaking to Isaiah, and God says, Isaiah, listen, I've given you a very important job, and your very important job is to be a watchman so that you will warn the people of Israel whatever I tell you to warn them. What an amazing and important job that was. Ezekiel was supposed to come. He's supposed to get the words from God, take those words to the people and say, listen, thus saith the Lord. This is what God wants you to hear. If you will hear what God has for you to hear, God will pardon you. And then you hear and you turn from your sin. God will pardon you. But if you don't, you're going to face judgment. Now go to Ezekiel chapter 33. I want you to see a passage about the watchman in action. And tonight, the message is about that watchman. God said, I've called you to be a watchman. He's speaking to Ezekiel here. I've called you to be a watchman. I've called you to be the one who warns the people. Well, let's see what that watchman's job is like. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Basically, it's this. If whenever you have a city, and out of that city you choose somebody to be the watchman, and you put that watchman and you station him up on the wall of that city, whenever there's an attack by the enemy, he said, whenever I bring the sword upon a land, whenever God allows the enemy to come and that enemy attacks, he said, if that watchman blows the trumpet and the people inside of the city, they hear the trumpet, but they don't do anything about it. and the enemy comes in and the enemy attacks and kills those people, he said it's their own fault. The watchman's not to blame. He's not guilty. The phrase that he uses is their blood is upon their own head. It's their own fault because there was a watchman, and the watchman saw the evil coming. The watchman sounded the alarm. He blew the trumpet. Maybe he yelled or whatever it was. He said, "The enemy's coming. The enemy's coming. You've got to get your weapons. You've got to get your shields. You've got to get ready for battle. Or you've got to run. You've got to hide." Whatever it is, if they do not listen to the watchman, whose fault is it? It's their own fault because there was a watchman. The watchman saw the enemy coming. The watchman sounded the alarm. The people inside, for whatever reason, ignored the watchman. Now, most of us would hear that and say, well, that's just dumb. I'm not sure if you're supposed to use dumb in a sermon. It's not outlined here. But that's what I would think. That's just dumb. The watchman sees the enemy coming. He's got a great view. He sees what's going on. He sees them coming. People in the city may not see him. There's big walls. You can't see over the wall when you're down inside the city. But the watchman can see, and he warns the people. And if the people just ignore him, then it's their own fault whenever the enemy comes in and destroys them. Look at verse number 6, though. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. Let's stop there for just a moment. What a sorry watchman, right? Not just that he's there and he doesn't see the enemy, but he's there, he sees the enemy, and he doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't warn the people. Continue on in verse 6, he doesn't blow the trumpet. The people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. It's the watchman's fault. He didn't warn the people. Verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, just like the watchman on a city wall. He's saying to Ezekiel, I've set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. There's some people that I want you to be a watchman for. I want you to warn them about coming evil. And I want you to warn them about the things that are going to come that will hurt their nation. I want you to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, verse 7, thou shalt hear the word in my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Who is responsible now? This is God speaking to Ezekiel. If God tells Ezekiel, warn my people about judgment that's coming, and Ezekiel doesn't warn the people about the judgment that's coming, whose fault is it now? Now, God said they're going to be taken away because of their iniquity. God's judging them. And they are guilty. And God brought this enemy in. Babylon was a perfect example. God brings Babylon in, Nebuchadnezzar in, and takes the people captive. And yes, they're guilty, and this is their judgment. But the Bible says, their blood I will put upon your head, Ezekiel. It's your fault. You didn't warn them that the enemy was coming in. Nevertheless, verse 9, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. The job of the watchman is so incredibly important. You've got the strong man, and the strong man is in the house. And whenever somebody comes in, evil comes into the house, the strong man can fight off this evil. He can protect whoever is in the house, unless, of course, he's bound. We talked this morning. If he's bound by sin, if he's bound by distractions, if he's bound by busyness, or if he's absent, if the strong man leaves the home, and it's happening through divorce, it's happening through absenteeism, we talked about neglect and the different things. Maybe the strong man is just not in the picture, and the enemy has just a free open door to come on in. That's the strong man. His job is to be there in the home, protecting the home. I want to challenge you. First of all, to be a strong man in the home. But second, I want to challenge you to listen to the watchman on the wall. I'm not challenging you necessarily to be a watchman. Although if God calls you to do that, you've got a job and you're going to answer to God for it. But what I want to challenge you this evening is to be that strong man and listen for the warning of the watchman. Maybe you're not the strong man in your home. If you are a wife and you've got a godly husband and he's taken the challenge to be a strong man and protect your home, that is a blessing that I can't even describe what a wonderful blessing that is. That umbrella of protection. It's an umbrella of authority as well, but that umbrella of protection that will protect you. It's a wonderful thing. But even if you are not the strong man, I want to challenge you tonight to listen to the watchman. And I'm not just saying the watchman is the pastor. I want to give you some ideas of who that watchman could be and why that watchman is important. I read a story as I was getting ready for this message. It was Easter Sunday, 2013. The southbound side of I-77 near the North Carolina-Virginia border was closed for hours following a massive chain of accidents. Police later reported that 17 different collisions involved 95 cars and trucks. These crashes left 3 people dead and more than 24 injured. Many of them were injured seriously. The cause of the accident was this. People were driving into a thick fog that descended over the interstate on that Sunday afternoon. A police spokesman said visibility at the time of this incident occurred was down to about 100 feet or less. And people were just driving into the fog, had no idea that there was danger in front of them, just driving into the fog at highway speeds, not knowing that they were about to run into stopped cars. Wouldn't it have been an amazing thing? There wasn't in this case, but wouldn't it have been an amazing thing if there was somebody out in front of the fog, somebody that could say, hey, stop, listen, there's crashes. It happens so fast, and eventually I'm sure that did happen where somebody was out there warning them, but 95 cars can pile up really, really fast. But could you see what would happen maybe if there was somebody on the outside warning? But can you also see what happens whenever you go headfirst into something where you can't see if it's dangerous? And you don't have a warning? Just consider that as a possibility. There was another story of there's a railway switchman. Back in the old days of railway, they would have a man stationed there at the switch, and he would have a lantern, and he'd use his lantern to signal which way the train was supposed to go, and if a car could come by, if a train could come by, kind of like we have automatic right now. But a man would do that. He'd hold a lantern and he'd swing his lantern and he'd use that for a signal. Well, that was the railway switchman. He testified in court that he swung his lantern at the crossing as an automobile sped toward a fast train. And in spite of the warning, the car sped on and the driver was killed. Can you picture this man in court now? He's a railway switchman. A driver came and a driver was killed because he didn't see the train or whatever, he didn't heed the warning. And on oath, the railway switchman said, I was swinging my lantern so that he could have a warning. Just turns out later he was exonerated. He was said, you are not guilty, you're fine, there's no wrongdoing on your part. He later confided to a friend that while he was swinging his lantern, that was true. He didn't have any light in his lantern for the car to see. What a terrible story. You've got somebody who's going through the motions, but not really warning people. The watchman is so important. The fact that we need a watchman is responsible to hear the warning. If a lookout on a distant mountain warns the watchman on the wall, the watchman on the wall needs to be listening for the trumpet. He can't get distracted by things around him. He can't focus on things that make him lose his focus on his great responsibility. If you were the watchman on the wall, you have to be so careful that you were looking and you were listening to see if maybe somebody out in the distance was going to sound an alarm so that you can warn the people in the city. But what if you get distracted? What if you start doing something here or just that you're focused on? I know they didn't have iPads and phones and social media back then. But what would happen if the watchman on the wall got distracted because he's playing a video game or he was on social media or he's watching a movie or watching his TV? And you can see the parallel here. Now, we don't get distracted in that way where the enemy's going to come in and destroy our home because we're watching the TV or watching our social networking or something like that. Not in a physical way. but very much in a spiritual way. We've got to be careful as watchmen and as those who are responsible for our family that we don't lose our focus and we don't get distracted by things in this life. A watchman is responsible to see the enemy. He needs to keep his eyes on the horizon for enemies. He's looking for enemies. A watchman's responsible to warn his people. He's the person most responsible for saving lives. Think about it. The watchman on the wall is the one with the greatest responsibility for saving the lives of the people inside the city. What a great and a huge responsibility that is. You know, there's a lot of people here that in different times and different places, you are a watchman. Let me give you some examples. A godly pastor can be a watchman. A strong man who is inside the home, defending his home, would be wise to listen when the pastor warns about sin. I asked you on Wednesday night that if you would pray specifically, that God would help me as a preacher to be able to preach the difference between the holy and the profane, the good and the evil. And I continue to ask to pray that you would help me as a pastor to be able to do that. You know, this is not just the pastor, though. There's other people there. We have men in our church who will preach in different places and teach in different classes. And ladies in our church who will stand up and will teach. These folks can be a watchman. And it'd be wise to listen to that person whenever they warn about sin. You know, there's some people that have been down the road further than us. I'm 41 years old. There's people who've been down and gone through some of the things I've not gone through yet. There's some people that have gone through some things you've not gone through yet. They've made some decisions that you've not faced yet. If you're a young person here today, you're a teenager here today, listen, there's some people in your life that they've been down that road that you're getting ready to walk down. They've made some of those decisions. They've made some of those mistakes. There are some people that they have some great wisdom, and you'd be wise to listen to their wisdom whenever they're warning you against sin. Don't go that route, because if you go that route, it's going to lead to destruction. A godly friend can be a watchman. A good friend will tell you the truth in order to help you to remain unbound. You know, we can all have this position right here as a watchman who's a good friend. You can be this friend. You can be the friend that looks at your friend straight in the eyes and says, listen, that is a bad idea. What you're doing is you're allowing the enemy to bind you up so that you can't defend your home. You can't protect your home. We need friends who are willing to tell us the truth. That's the kind of friend that's a good friend. The kind of friend that just tells you what you want to hear, that's not really that good of a friend. I was in Bible college and I was getting ready to go to my first class for the day. I'd gotten dressed. I was ready to go, but I hadn't stopped to look in the mirror yet. I got a problem with that. I've got to force myself to stop and look in the mirror, right? And I hadn't done that. I was getting ready to walk out the door. I had my books. I was ready to go. I was all dressed. And my friend said to me, Dave, aren't you going to comb your hair before you go to class? I am so glad that he stopped me. That would have been so embarrassing. You know, that's just a silly little story. But wouldn't it be great if you had a friend that would stop you before you went to do this thing that would be wrong, before you made a big decision that would hurt yourself? You know, it'd be a good idea to have some people that you trusted in your life that you could say, hey, I'm about to make this big decision. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And a good friend would be one that's not so concerned about what you think about them, but somebody who's interested in protecting you. A godly pastor can be a watchman. A godly friend can be a watchman. Man, a godly wife can be a watchman. This is huge. Men, God has called you, if you're a dad or you're a husband, God has called you to be the strong men of your home. But what you don't realize is possibly the greatest watchman that you have is your wife. Let me give you some reasons why a godly wife can be a watchman. Well, first of all, we need women that are committed to building strong men, that are encouraging and allowing their husbands to be strong men. We need women who will build strong sons. Let me give you some thoughts. Our wives know us better than anyone else. We can fake everybody else out. Our wives know us. They know when we've not been spending time with God. We can fake people out. We can get to church and, hey, everything's great. I got my Bible and I'll smile at everybody. Yeah, everything's great. Glad to be here. But our wives know. They know when we're being we're just being jerks, right? They know I haven't spent time with God, and you know, and this is the way it is. The longer you go without spending time, this is me anyway. Longer I go without having a close time with God, the more crabby and grouchy and just hard to get along with I get. I can hide it from some other people, but I'm really not very good at hiding it from my wife. Our wives know us better than anyone else. They know when we're getting distracted. Now, our wives might not know what's distracting us, but they know when something's wrong. It'd be wise, man, if you'd listen to your wife, listen when she says, you know, I just sense something's just not right. Let's talk about this. Let's work through this. A man's wife is the best tool on this earth to help him stay unbound. The devil wants to bind you. He wants to render you useless in a corner so he can come in and rob your house. He wants to take your kids. He wants to take your family. He wants to destroy your family. And he will bind you and put you to the side and let you and just make you so you can't do anything. You're stuck there. You just got to watch as your family is destroyed. The number one person in your life that can help you stay unbound, men, is your wife. Develop a close relationship with her. Listen to her intuition about, you know, that lady at work or this person over here, these buddies that you're hanging out with. Now, ladies, be kind, be tactful, but be honest. We need you to be honest. Tell us. Tell us the truth. And men, listen as they speak. Ladies, give me some thoughts as we go forward. Keep him unbound for his sake. Keep him unbound for your sake. Keep him unbound for your kids' sake. Ladies, help your husband stay strong. Let me give you a thought about that. You can't make him eat vegetables, but you can make the vegetables taste good. I heard a preacher say that one time. That's a good point, right? Once I grew up and went to Bible college, nobody could make me eat vegetables, but I could get hungry enough where I'd want to eat them. And my wife could make them good enough so that I'd want to eat them. You know, if you make, ladies, if you will make living right attractive, and I guess that's just the easiest way I can say it. Ladies, bathe your husband in prayer. Your husband needs somebody praying for him. He needs somebody, if he's going to be the hedge of protection around the house, he needs somebody who's going to hold up the hedge, somebody that's going to pray for him, somebody that's going to go to God on his behalf. Because there are temptations he's going to face every day. There are struggles he's going to face every day. Ladies, you need to bathe your husband in prayer. You need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you with His power and His wisdom. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is not just for the preacher to preach the message. It's also for a godly lady to say, God, I need you to fill me with your power because I need to pray for my husband and I need him to be a godly man. I need him to be a godly husband. You need to learn how to meekly help your husband remain unbound. One of the greatest responsibilities a wife can have is to help her husband stay unbound so that he can protect this family that God has given him. To men, a couple thoughts. Husbands ought to be accountable to their wives. Let me make this real practical. Husbands ought to be accountable to their wives. In our day, we've got so many ways that we could, for lack of a better way of saying it, we could live a double life. Men, be accountable to your wife. Young men, be accountable to your parents. Very practical way. If I've got a phone, I don't have a password on my phone that my wife doesn't know. There's no reason for me to keep any secrets from my wife on my phone or on my computer. Any website that I go to, any place that needs a password, any place where I store information. Now, I don't work at a top secret clearance place. I know some of you guys may not be able to share everything with your wife from there. But in my personal life, there is nothing that I have that is protected from what my wife can see. I want to be transparent with her. My wife can pick up my phone anytime and I don't need to feel nervous about it. Now, I don't have a password on my phone that my wife doesn't know. She can just pick it up and use it. My wife, when she can figure it out, she uses my phone. She has a tough time because our phones are different. It's like, which button do you push to make a call? But beyond that, it's open. Let's be accountable with our time. Men, let's be accountable to our wives. We don't have to be accountable to everybody in the world, but to our wives we need to be accountable. It's not just, I'm going out with the guys for a few hours. Where am I? Where are you going? Don't make your wife nag you to know where you're going. Tell her. Be transparent about it. Hey, I'm going here for a couple hours. I'm going here. It wouldn't hurt to call her whenever you're out. Hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. I'm here now. Just being accountable. I can't think of a better accountability partner than my wife. Guys, if you've got a wife, the Bible says a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, or something like that. What a great person to be accountable with. They help you to stay unbound. The greatest source of strength aside from God can be your wife. Let her into your world. She sees things that you're blind to. She sees when you get too wrapped up in a project. She sees when you're spiraling downward because you're neglecting time with God. A man who loves his wife will listen to her when she tries to help him remove some things. Satan's binding us. He wants to bind us. His goal is to bind us, tie us down, so that he can destroy our families. So if that's the devil's goal, don't get mad at your wife when she tries to unwrap some of that stuff. She tries to help remove this, whatever it is, this distraction that's keeping you from your family, this distraction that's keeping you from spending time with God, this sin that may be holding you back. Here's our flesh is going to respond this way. It's none of your business. Leave me alone. I'm just quit nagging me. When in reality, here's what she's trying to do. She sees the devil winding this wrap of sin around us, and she's just trying to help to loosen some of that up, to unbind us. Men, your wife could be the greatest tool God has ever given you. The final eruption of Mount St. Helens of May 1980 was not a sudden event. For 2 months prior to the massive blast, which was the most deadly and destructive in American history, earthquakes and volcanic activity signaled a major event was underway. Authorities had plenty of time to sound the alarm and warn those living nearby of the looming danger. Yet despite the seriousness of the threat, some people chose to disregard the warnings. Probably the most notable would be a man named Harry Randall Truman. The 83-year-old man was the owner and the caretaker of Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. He had survived the sinking of his troop ship by a German submarine off the coast of Ireland during World War I, and he was not about to leave just because scientists thought there was danger. Truman told reporters, "I don't have any idea whether it will blow, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." On May 18, 1980, Truman and his lodge were buried beneath 150 feet of mud and debris from the volcanic eruption. His body was never found. He didn't listen to the warning, and he was destroyed. God's put a watchman in your life, not just a pastor, but godly friends, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a godly wife. And God has put that watchman in your life to warn you and protect you. My challenge to you tonight is listen to the watchman. Father, thank you for letting us spend some time here this evening. I pray that you would use the message this morning about being a strong man. And now the lesson tonight about listening and heeding the warning of the watchman to strengthen our families. Our families are under attack. Our nation is just changing so very quickly. The devil wants to destroy our kids. He wants to destroy our marriages. He wants to destroy our families. Lord, I pray that tonight you would create a desire. You would create a burning in our hearts to be the strong man for our home and to listen and take heed to the watchman, whoever that watchman is that you've put in our life, but listen to the watchman as he warns us.